is here today. So she works for us, and haven't known Lynn a long time. Came into the office, 6 months ago, interested in a part-time job, and didn't work out at that time, but later on she did come to work for us, and she's said kind of had been interested in maybe finding a church, and so invited her out, and glad you're here today. So say hi to her after the service. All righty. Let's turn to Proverbs. Really encourage you younger people, some of you high school kids, to go ahead and get a Bible and find Proverbs. It's in the Old Testament, kind of about halfway through there. Psalms is a big book. It's just beyond Psalms. But Proverbs is written in a way that is especially relevant for younger people. It'd be a good book to sit down with your kids and go through and say, you know, hey, we all know. Evan, if I pick on you one time, then I won't the rest of the message, okay? Just once. You know, you come home, you turn your 1 acre yard into a garden, and you do that for a few years, then you outgrow it, and then, I mean, you outgrow the garden, so we're going to put it back in yard, and you get it all sowed, and you sow the seed, and everything looking really nice, and you finally go out there and mow it that first time. It's looking pretty well, not totally, but looking pretty nice, and then get 4 inches of rain, and then your son decides to drive through it in the pickup truck. Gets stuck in the middle and has to be drug out. And so, you know, here's my new yard. Looks like there's been a tank out there in the middle of it. And so Proverbs is about those kinds of things. It's about wisdom and understanding. And it's the kind of material we'd like for our young people to know. So especially young people, it would be a good time for you to find the book of Proverbs and follow along with us. Father, we'll just come to you this morning. We'll ask your blessing on the teaching of your word. You say your word will not return void. It will accomplish that to which it's purposed. That's our desire today, Lord, that it would return the fruit that you have planned for the teaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. And I don't know if we have a clock. I'll try to get my phone up here so I've got some idea of the time. All right, so settled on Proverbs chapter 1. I was thinking about what I would share, and it's a good, solid, easy chapter to teach from. And I sort of had my mind towards that. I was going to the office real early one morning, and if you want to, like, tune into some weird stuff, listen to talk radio, okay? Now, I'm in the car 8-9 hours a day. With high school students, nothing to do, so I'll flip around and listen to the radio, and you get some odd stuff. But if you really want to get some really, really weird stuff, listen to the overnight talk radio, okay? That's when you get the spacemen and the Loch Ness monsters and the Bigfoot people come out, and they get somebody to listen to them and act like, you know, like they know what they're talking about, all this bizarre stuff. So anyway, I was going in really early one morning, and there was a lady on there, and she had written a book, and the host was complimenting her, and she was talking about how that we have what we consider to be truth is like our mind is like a yard that grows up with grass, and it's deep grass, like waist-deep grass or knee-high grass. And when you have a thought, it's like walking through that grass one time. And it creates a tiny path, and the more you walk down that path, the more you have that same thought over and over, it's like developing that path, and the path gets more and more pronounced so that it becomes easier and easier to go down that path. So that becomes your truth. But then another person over here, they have their path, so they have their truth. And the host was going on complimenting her, and I was thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. There's one truth. 2 and 2 is 4. It is not 5. It is not 7. It's not 4.5. You can't have your truth. There's just one truth. And either, you know, we have two thoughts out there. God created the world, and so he has a purpose and a plan for it and for us. Or there was, I don't know what everything came together out of nothing into a giant mass and exploded. Those aren't two truths. There's one truth and one lie. So I was thinking how ridiculous this person was when the first caller got on and was just gushing over her. Wow, that is so deep. That's so profound. How smart you are, how intelligent you are. And I just thought about wisdom and understanding. and how we have different concepts of what wisdom is and knowledge is, and how the world views that. And it really has come to a strange place. You know, it's come to this place where, as it said in the Old Testament, every man does what's right in his own eyes, and yet the Lord says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we've come to that place where people feel like whatever crazy thought you want to throw out there is just as relevant as I dealt with this when I was working in the factory, and I have studied the Bible a lot, especially when I was younger. I was going in through it over and over and over and teaching, and there would be ideas and thoughts about the Bible that would come up at work, and you would give them clear biblical teaching, and then they would come up with some weird gobbledygook over here, and it's like, yeah, and it's like, but they put them on the same platform, as if they both had the same credit. I've studied this my whole life, you know, I've researched it, I know what I'm talking about. You just pulled something out of thin air, it doesn't have the same value. No, there aren't two truths. There's truth and there's a lie. There's your weird, I'm sorry guys, until you prove me different, I don't think there's any Bigfoot, okay? You can believe in a Bigfoot all you want, but I don't think there's any Bigfoot out there. And I don't think there's spacemen flying around. I'm just not sold on this. And when you approach me, it's just wrong. It's just a lie. It's just not the truth. So where do we go for truth? Well, when Solomon became king, and God came to him and he said, what would you like? And he said, I'd give you anything you want. He said, I want wisdom. I want understanding. I want to know things. And what a profound thing to ask for. And that's why I really encourage young people, especially today. Us older people, we've already kind of lived a big portion of our life. And we still want to gain wisdom and understanding. But you know what? As a young person, the choices you make right now are going to affect your entire life. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your families, your marriages. The choices you make now are going to be, you know, very long-lasting, impactful choices. So I encourage you to dig in with this as we go through Proverbs and to notice what we're talking about here. So, I haven't taught for 6 months, so I'm a little bit out of practice here too. So I'll be a little bit... what is a proverb? So I looked that up. A proverb is a short saying, and by design, they should be very brief and to the point, and kind of catchy, kind of get your attention, like a bird is a hand is worth two in the bush, okay? Well, what does that mean, you know? Well, what does it mean? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Well, it means that this thing that might happen, like the two in the bush, you may never catch those, but you've already got one. So enjoy the things that you have now instead of being concerned about what you may or may not ever have someday. So these are proverbs. They're just catchy little phrases. Let's see, there was another one I had written down. The early bird catches the worm. You guys know what that is, right? The early bird catches the worm? I mean, even young people, right? You know what we're talking about? You know birds get up early? When you wake up in the morning before you open your eyes, how do you know it's morning or not? How? You hear the birds. If the birds are chirping, it's morning. If the birds are not chirping, it's still nighttime, okay? The birds are out early, and that first bird's getting out there, getting those worms early. So get up and get going and be aggressive. That's what that's saying. So I just noticed there are proverbs all around the world. There's a Russian proverb that says, let me see if I can read it correctly, your elbow is close, but you cannot bite it. Never thought about that. But that's true. I even tried it. I couldn't do it. I don't even know if a young person could do it. I have to see if Marina can do that or not, but I don't think you can. But it's kind of the idea of so near and yet so far. You know, something that's just out of our reach and we just can't quite get to it. Proverbs. So we have a book of Proverbs that were written down for us by Solomon. So let's turn there, Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll dig in and get started here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and understanding. Guys, to have knowledge, to have understanding, tell me anything that you could possess that's more valuable than knowledge and understanding and wisdom. A cell phone? No. you know, knowledge is a very high and exalted thing to pursue. You want to obtain knowledge, and not just knowledge, but understand wisdom. Wisdom is understanding how to handle that knowledge. I know things, but now what do I do about that? How do I act? Do you guys have those people in your life? Like, if you were in a tough situation, so let's say, I don't know, let's say two people invite you to something on Friday night, and you can't go to both of them. Okay, let's say, I don't know why I've got you young people in my mind today, I just do. You just guys came to mind when I was studying, so that's, I'll just pick on you guys the whole time, but I won't pick on you by name, and that's maybe Madison, but probably not. So let's say it's Friday, and your best friend wants you to go to a show, and you've promised to do that, but not you, Madison, because you're too young, but you know, if you're older, and you've been wanting somebody to ask you out, and they ask you to a show on the same time, what do you do? That's an enigma. That's a problem. What do I do? Do I ditch my best friend that I already made a commitment to? Or do I put off this guy that I've been wanting to go out with? What do I do in that situation? What would you do, girls? Don't know, huh? I would, if I were you, I'd ask my mom. And why would you ask your mom? Because she's a person who has wisdom. Who would you go to in that situation? Who would you ask that thing? Well, that's a person that has wisdom. They have understanding. They know how to deal with people. I kind of decided, have been undecided whether I'd mention this or not, and I hope that it doesn't offend, but I don't know, maybe I ought to skip it. I don't like to get political in the pulpit, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to endorse or not endorse. But if you think our president is just dumbing his way through things, then you don't get it. He has a system for everything he does. And I can tell you a system. He goes into any situation and stirs it all up. Because in stirring it all up, he feels like he's going to get the best out of people. He feels like probably most people aren't doing the best that they can. So I'm going to go in here and I'm going to yell and break a few tables and make a big scene. And then I'm going to leave because I don't have any idea what you guys can do, but you know what you can do. So I'll stir it up a little bit and see what happens. And you'll get back to me in a week, and then I'll see what kind of improvement you... There's a system to that. There's a method to it. It's not just random acts of rudeness. He's got a purpose behind it. Now, you may or may not agree with it, and that's fine, but I'm just saying there's a purpose. He has a reason. There's a logic. He feels like he has an understanding of things. So let's jump in. To know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom, to have understanding, I think... To know instruction, but be able to instruct. What a great thing that is if you're that person that other people come to for advice. And they call you and they ask you for help. Wouldn't you want to be that kind of a friend? That people would say, hey, they know that if they're in a bad spot, they can call me and I'll know how to help them out. Isn't that a great thing to desire to be? That kind of a friend, that kind of a mother or father or brother, you know? That would be a great thing, I think, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. I teach kids to drive, and people ask me, don't you get afraid a lot out there with the kids? And I usually joke and tell them I drink a lot, but I don't drink at all, but anyway, that's usually what I tell them. But you know, I'm out with these high school kids, don't you get afraid? Rarely ever. I kind of feel like, oh. Even if we got hit, it probably wouldn't be too bad. But what bothers me about being out with high school kids, a 15-year-old arrogant boy that won't listen. You know, he gets in the car and he thinks he's one of the Dukes of Hazzard. He knows it already. He sits back in his seat. He got one hand on the wheel. You know, he's cruising and he's slapping her down and driving, away we go, and it just drives me insane. I just want to throw the guy out, you know. And it's because they won't learn. Because you think you know everything, then you're not teachable. You won't learn. So here's what we need to do. We need to come with an attitude of learning. Of, you know, we came out of the Calvary Chapels, and I don't know that even throughout history, in my opinion, there's been a Bible teacher that, I mean, there have been a lot of great Bible teachers, but I don't know anybody that knows as much about the Bible as Pastor Chuck Smith, who came from the Calvaries. You go to the Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference, he's 80-some years old, and some young guy that's 22 is teaching, and what's Pastor Chuck doing? He's got his Bible out, he's sitting, he's watching, he's learning, you know. He's heard it all over and over and over, but if there's something in there he can learn, he wants to learn it. He wants to hear a different perspective or something. So to have an attitude to learn and have that perspective, it's, guys, it starts with an attitude. It starts with a, I want to learn. I want to know. And literally, you know, with our driver's ed kids, you get three lessons in. There's some kids that you just say, you know what? I'm just going to ride along with you your last few lessons because I cannot teach you anything because you won't learn. So we don't want to be that. We want to be pursuing wisdom. We want to be coming, you know, we're coming here on Sunday mornings and the Word of God is being taught. We want to be listening. We want to be focused. What would God speak to my heart today from His Word? What could I learn today? Justice, judgment, equity, all of these things have to do with fairness. And, you know, that idea of getting what we deserve, that things are fair. So I want to understand. I want to know how to, you know, to act fairly in a situation. And, you know, we don't know. We you know, we get emotional. I was at my mom's yesterday, and they're getting older, and they're looking at, they have a variety of small farms. They're looking at trying to divide them up and this or that or the other, and she's trying to do what's fair. And, you know, then one of the cousins comes in that we haven't seen, and or the, you know, that's not involved at all, and, oh, well, there's Grandma's house, and, oh, we can't sell Grandma's house, you know. And you get emotional, you know, and you have an attachment for that. And, oh, yeah, we, you know, we remember when we used to play in the water. And so we, our feelings get in the way, and sometimes we don't understand fairness. We don't understand the correct way to handle situations. We need the Lord to show us that. We need, you know, justice. We're kind of in some dangerous territory today in our country as far as justice needs to be meted out. Here's just the reality of it. Let's say I've got a, I don't know, a truck over there and got it full of diesel fuel, and my neighbor, he sneaks over and steals my gas out of there, and I catch him. Okay? Well, if I go turn him in, the police come out, and they say, nah, we're not really going to worry about that. Why, nobody would charge anybody for something like that. Just let him go. Well, then two things are going to happen. He's going to be back the next night with a bigger jug of gas, you know, to get more gas. And then number two, I'm going to be there with a gun to persuade him not to come back because there was no justice. You see, we have to have justice. We have to have a fair system, because if we don't feel like the rules are fair, then we'll start breaking the rules because we feel, hey, I tried to play by the rules and it was just taken away from me. So we need to know that. We need to have, and really that comes from God. We can't trust ourselves. We'll get too emotional in situations. And we have to have godly wisdom and understanding for that. To give prudence to the simple. That means the simple-minded. And that word prudence, George Bush used to use that all the time. Wouldn't be prudent. You guys remember that? Prudence is knowing, like, the right time to say the right thing. Like, my grandson, every morning when we're Sunday, when we're having the body life, he sends over there with his hand up. Well, that scares me to death. I have no idea what he's going to say. And I was really terrified the day you called on him, and he said something okay, but we need to run those through Kenna before we just let him shout something out, because you don't know what he's going to say. He has no prudence. He doesn't know. He could say anything. And he has no understanding of the effects of that. We need to know when to stand up and speak, and we need to know when to sit and be quiet. There, you guys realize that, like, a lot of what people do is just talk. It doesn't amount to anything. So you don't have to get in there and correct everything. Just let it go. Why do you need to correct, you know, every situation? I've kind of learned that through life, there's, you know, very few perfect people. And I don't necessarily need to correct everybody. That's okay. So people are not perfect. So they make some mistakes here or there. Well, what is that? Why do we feel a need to correct those things? That's prudence, to understand that, you know, and I've especially become more confident in the Lord's ability. If there's someone that has a heart to follow the Lord, God will bring them back in time. And I've learned to be patient with that. And I've learned that kind of when I push people, I kind of maybe push them away sometimes. So that's prudence. That's knowing when to act and when not to act. And guys, you won't have that on your own. You'll work on emotions unless the Lord gives you prudence and it gives you that understanding. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. So young people, that's what this is directed to. That's what the book of Proverbs is directed. To give you knowledge and understanding, how to handle things. Where's Dennis? I was going to pick on Dennis. I have to put Randy in the mix, I guess. You guys know that there's a part of the brain that doesn't develop in boys, especially until they're 25. And the way I tell it to my high school kids, it's the part, like when 18-year-old boy says, I'm going to hit grandma with a snowball. And girls, yeah, you already say, no, that's a bad idea, right? Boys don't have that part in there to say that's a bad idea. If you don't believe me, get on YouTube and just search all the dumb things boys are doing. Jumping off the house, onto a trampoline, riding in a grocery cart, tied to a truck, going down the road 30 miles an hour. They're doing all these stupid things. Why? Because they don't have anything in here to tell them not to. It hasn't developed yet. And us, I like to say about why do they put young people in the military, in the infantry? Well, you tell a bunch of young guys, go take that hill, 1,000 young Marines, what are they going to do? Yeah, go take the hill, right? You take a bunch of guys like me and Randy, and I was going to say Dennis, but go take that hill, and what do we say? Nah, we got, you know, perfectly good hill right over here. We don't need that hill. Those other guys have that. Let them have that hill. We'll take this hill. Besides that, it's awful warm. Maybe tomorrow. It's supposed to be a little cooler tomorrow. We'll check. You know, why do we need to do that? So it's this idea of having this understanding of wisdom, of how to handle situations. We want that. We want to grow in that. So a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Tammy and I had our own language at our house when our kids were little. The phrase, I know, was translated, I love the taste of soap. Okay? So as we would tell our kids something, and they would start to interrupt, and they would say, I know, then we would go wash their mouth. But we would get the liquid soap and put it on a toothbrush and go brush their teeth with liquid soap. That we were not allowed to say that in our house. The correct answer to being corrected is, yes, sir, or I'm sorry. It's not, I know, or but I, or I was just. Okay, if you know, then don't do it again. And we're good. And if you didn't know, then I just told you. But when you say, I know, what you're saying is, I don't want to learn from you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. So we need to have that attitude. I want to learn. I want to hear what God has for me. So, all right, I've kind of laid out this case. Let's see how much time we got. What's that? I've sort of laid out this case. We want wisdom. We need that. It's an important thing. So where do we get it? You're not going to get it on talk radio. As much as I like Rush, I'm sorry. you know, that guy's goofy at times too. You're not going to get it here or there. You guys know there are people that go from town to town and they have their programs on you know, being happy and being successful. People pay thousands of dollars to go to those programs. And they get nothing out of it. Young people, and we'll go below you guys. Let's go to the young guys that aren't even in here. Where does a 10-year-old look to wisdom? Or look to get wisdom? He usually looks to the other 10-year-olds. Well, that's the worst place in the world to go for wisdom is your peers. They don't know anything. they're no wiser than you are. Why would you go to them for wisdom? That's just ridiculous. Why do you care what another 10-year-old thinks? you care what a 10-year-old thinks about how you dress or the shoes you wear or how long your nose is or anything like that? Well, don't give them a bit of attention. They're nothing. They don't know anything. So where do we go for wisdom? So the Bible tells us in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the place, guys. This is the place where we go. The fear of the Lord. Now, there's a few words that have been changed in our over time a little bit. The word fear means respect. That means the respect of the Lord, the honor of the Lord. That's where we get the word worship, is that we rever, we worship the Lord. We've mixed that up in our culture today in church. We have some church terms we throw around. In church, worship has come to mean singing. Now, singing is a form of worship. It's giving our honor to God, but we honor God in a lot of other ways besides singing. We honor God, you know, really by being here, you know. We respect God to the point that we got up and we came here today. We respect God to the point where we're opening our Bibles, we're listening, we're paying attention, we want to know what the Lord has to say to us. I'm respecting God, I'm giving Him my honor and my glory, and I'm not glory, but I'm giving Him my honor and the glory that's due to Him by the way that I act, by the way that I present myself. Do I live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? That's how I fear Him. So the fear of the Lord, do you want to know how to act? Really, it's not what would Jesus do, it's what would Jesus want me to do. That's really the truth of it. What does Jesus want me to do in this situation? So I don't know if there's an answer to this one. So your friend wants you to go to the show and you got a guy asking you out. I don't know what the answer to that one is. What does Jesus want you to do? I don't know. I don't know that situation. I don't know the answer to that. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I had written a couple comments in a negative sense, and I had thought, I'm just not going to go into a negative situation, but we are in an age where folks are not interested in wisdom. They do not want to be corrected. They do not want to know any different. They want to live the way they're living and be left alone with that. You know what the number two reason? No, I think it's the number one reason. I think it is the number one reason. I think I heard on the radio. People won't go to a dentist. Nobody does? Anybody want to shout out an answer? Expensive? Okay, for us older. Yeah, us folks have to pay the bills. It's a little bit scary. You know the number one reason? You don't want to be corrected by the dentist. You don't want to go to a dentist and have him telling you you're not brushing your teeth right. And I don't like it either. It really annoys me. But that's the number one. We don't want to be told we're doing something wrong. And I don't want to. But we kind of have to suck it up. The Bible says suck it up and accept the fact that you're not perfect and that you're going to need to be corrected from time to time. And that is the beginning of knowledge, to say, Lord, what would you desire that I change in my life? There are things that I do wrong. There are things that are just not as pleasing to you as they should be. What are those areas, Lord? How could I change in those? My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Okay, mother and father. Did you guys catch those words in there? Respectful of your parents. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Okay, since our young people are all girls today, I will tell you from a guy's perspective. What this is saying, girls, is you guys, you know, you're shopping for those shoes or that necklace or that dress or whatever you think is going to make you look pretty. You know what's going to make you look the prettiest of all? A attitude that reflects the glory of God. That is a beautiful thing. There's nothing. there's times when my wife and I are walking through the mall and I'll see some woman and she's just loud and obnoxious and, you know, going on, and I'll just say, thank God I married you instead of her. That's the ugliest thing in the world to me, is somebody that's just, you know, a problem. You know, why would you want that? It's very unattractive. If you want to be attractive, then gain godly knowledge and understanding. It will make you a very desirable person. And we know those people that serve the Lord, and you see just that quality in them, that people want to be around that. They're attracted to that beauty of the Lord that's in their hearts. Let's see. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. Now, they probably won't say to you guys, come, let us lie in wait to shed blood. You probably never heard that, okay? But have you been in a situation where they're picking on other people? And they're kind of wanting you to get in on that, you know? Like, hey, if you're, you know, they don't come out and say these words either, but if you're cool, you'll make fun of these other people too. That's what that's saying. It's saying that sinful people try to entice you to be critical of other folks. Well, what does it say? It says don't be a part of that. Don't get involved with that. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us and let us have one purse. Anybody at school ever say that to you? Cast in your lot among us and let us have one purse? No. But I bet all of you have been at some place one time or another when somebody stole a little something out of the dollar store, grabbed a little something here, a little something there, and you were encouraged to come help out and grab a little too. Okay, that's what that's saying. It's saying your friends are enticing you to steal from other people. Don't be a part of that. Stay away from those things. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely, so there are people, it just seems like their heart is bent towards evil. They just enjoy that. That's what they want to do. They're headed that direction. Don't be a part with them. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. So what that's saying is, these people, it's like they're trying to catch a bird, but the bird was right over here watching them set the trap. Now, I don't know. I think birds are dumb enough they'd go in the trap anyway. But what it's saying is that what they're doing is so obvious, it's not going to work out for them. Somebody told me one time, and I thought this was pretty smart, why did we go to fortune tellers, and palm readers, people that tell the future, and give them money to advise us when they all live in trashy old trailers somewhere, you know? They live in some house, it's all falling down, they got nothing, you know? And yet they want us to give them our money for them to tell us how we should make decisions in our life. Well, if you're such a great fortune teller, go bet on the ball game, you know? You know who's going to win before it happens. So, Or why is it, you know, we got young people enticed into dealing drugs and doing all kind of manner of thing. Guys, how many people do you know that have gone down this road of drug use and addictions and those things? Okay, we all know people gone down that road. How many you know people have gone down that road that are living really well now? Got a nice house, nice car, life's together. All of them that I know, you can smell their houses from 50 feet before you get there. And they're full of trash, and it's just a mess. Their lives are a mess. Why would you want to go look down the road just a little bit, and that's where that leads you? Why would you want to go down into that stuff? Stay away from that stuff. The end of it is no good. And yet people will entice you to go down that road. Stay away from it. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain and takes away the life of its owners. So you're really just plotting your own destruction. There is a way. You know, I heard this. I haven't looked it up yet, but I heard, I shouldn't repeat it without looking it up. I guess it's a rumor till I look it up. I heard 75% of all millionaires in this country are Christians. And I kind of believe that. Because if you are faithful to the Lord, I'm not saying God's going to make you a millionaire, but if you're faithful to the Lord and you do the things he asks you to do and you pay your tithes and you work, live a life in harmony with him, your life's going to be blessed. It's just going to go well. God's going to bless you, especially if you commit to that at a young age. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. So guys, wisdom is not hard to find. It says, Solomon is saying through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God is trying to make wisdom known to you. You just have to open your ears to it. It's all about having an attitude. You know, these young boys, can I teach somebody to drive? Yeah, piece of cake. Can I teach somebody to drive that doesn't want to learn to drive? No, I can't do it. That's the only person I can't teach is somebody that doesn't want to learn. Everybody else I can teach. So make yourself open to it. It's an easy thing. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? I always say the one thing that you're guaranteed to succeed at is if you try to be stupid. Try to be stupid, you'll get it every single time. You'll never fail at that, okay? And that's what it's saying. For scorners delight in their scorning. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. So, you know, I kind of get into this place where sometimes we're in those places of despair. We just feel overwhelmed. And he says, turn. Repent. Turn your life to me. Be open to the teaching of the Lord. Be open to his instruction. And God will bring you out of that. I like to use this example from, I went back to Larry Burkett, that's not it, Dave Ramsey. And I kind of get bored with listening to his show. I'll listen to it a few minutes here or there. But this principle has come out so many times that I can see it over and over. People call in, he's a Christian financial counselor, if you're not aware, on the radio. People call in with massive amounts of debt. And then if they'll follow his advice, which is godly advice, it's, you know, quit living above your means, you know, and get rid of things you don't need, and you know, it's godly counsel. But these people who really were in a position to be in massive debt their entire life, almost all of them are out of debt in 2 to 3 years. And how do you pay off $150,000 worth of debt in 2 to 3 years? Well, the thing is that once you're open to the counsel of the Lord, God begins to bless. And so many of these, almost everyone, that after they, you know, took that second job to pay extra bills and had garage sales and got rid of everything they didn't need and did all these first steps, almost every one of them then got some unexpected raise or promotion or something happened. In other words, once we were open and obedient to the following, to the leading of the Lord, God then began to bless. And things started to flow. And you know, he worked through these things. They seem overwhelming, but God can quickly dig us out of these places. I think that's for any number of things. I think that's depression. I think that's, you know, difficult family situations. You know, it seems like you can't get there and you're not going to get there today or tomorrow. But just begin to seek the Lord and I think he'll bring us through those things. Because I've called and you refuse, I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. What he's saying is that I've offered and extended a hand to you over and over and over to help you change your ways and get into harmony with me. And now that you're in trouble and you cry out to the Lord, he says, I'm not going to hear you. Now, why are you crying out to the Lord? Are you crying out to the Lord to repent? Are you sorry? No, I'm just really sorry I got caught. That's the only thing I'm sorry for. As soon as I get out of this, I'm right back to the way I used to be. So I'm not going to respect that. It's not a sincere repentance. Then they'll call on me. I will not answer. They will seek me diligently. They will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning of the way of the simple will slay them. The complacencies of fools will destroy them. So those who those who refuse to seek after the knowledge of God, what is the end of that person? Destruction. You younger people can't see it. I always like to joke and say, you guys are at that point where you're waiting to be old enough that you can start sinning. Can't wait till I'm old enough and I can go do this and do that. And it sounds enticing. Us older folks know what it's like to be stuck in sin and having to try to get out of it. We know the end of it. We know where it leads. We know that it leads to destruction. That's what this says. If you turn away from the instruction of the Lord, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're writing the end of your story right now. You're saying that, I don't know what that story is, but you're saying that my, you know, marriage isn't going to work out. I'm not saying that specifically. I'm just saying any number of things. But that's what you're setting yourself up for by refusing to hear the correction of the Lord. But Whoever listens to me, now listen to this, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. I'm going to take just a second. I'm 4 minutes over. But I'm going to take just a second to talk about that just a little bit. There's a lot in there. Think about that. Why do we have, I don't know how many we got, somebody's military. How many troops we got in South Korea? 35,000, does anybody know? 35,000 people, I mean, that's with their, you know, we're looking at not quite the size of Terre Haute, but nearly in one country. Why do we have 35,000 people in South Korea? Because if the North Koreans come over, we need a buffer there. In other words, we're afraid of the North Koreans. Why do we have nuclear weapons? Why do we spend billions and trillions of dollars on all this stuff? Why do we do all that? Because we're afraid that our enemies could attack us if we don't. Why do we have the police? Why do we have all these things? It's really out of fear, guys. It's out of fear. There's an interesting thing. I said when I came up here? Oh, about doing the wrong thing. You know, don't like to do the wrong thing. I remember as a young person, one of my greatest internal turmoils, I was always afraid I had said something wrong or hurt somebody's feelings or did something wrong, and I was always afraid it was going to catch up to me. I heard a story one time. It was a really, really juicy piece of gossip, and I was telling the story. I didn't know who it was about. I just heard some person and some event. I won't go through it. And shortly, my best friend came up, and he said, "That was my sister you were talking about." I said, "Oh, I didn't know that." And from then on, I determined I don't ever want to say anything in private that I wouldn't say to you publicly. Because I don't want that. I don't want to be afraid. Who did I say what to, and how's it going to come back on me? If we seek after wisdom and knowledge and this like understanding how to live from the Lord, we can walk without fear of those things. I'm convinced that one of the greatest, you see, we're not, as Christians, we're not supposed to sin. But we sin, right? You know, we're not supposed to, but we do. I've been convinced that the greatest penalty of that is not that God's mad at me or that God's going to get me or something like that. But I can't walk with a clean conscience anymore. If something goes wrong, I'm wondering, is that because of what I did a couple days ago? God got me, you know? Now, if I didn't do anything wrong 2 days ago, then this happens, and I know, no, it wasn't the Lord. He's not mad at me for anything that I know of. That wasn't it, you know. But I think Satan beats us up with that stuff. We walk around with guilt and condemnation. And he says if we can walk in the ways of God, we can live free of all of that. That's true freedom, just living really in harmony with the Lord, in harmony with his will, and you know, allowing him to lead and to bless our life. So I hope you've been encouraged by that. Maybe you'll read Proverbs. There's about 30 or 31 chapters. A lot of folks say if you like to get into reading your Bibles, maybe in the morning or something, if you read one proverb a day, that's a good idea because you can go through them once a month. And they're quick, they're short, and we want them to become a part of our character. We want to be what this book is describing. So I'm not sure what we do from here. I'll pray and then turn it over. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We just ask your blessing as we go out. And I just want to personally thank you for the opportunity to share today, Lord, and thank Jerry for that and for giving me this opportunity. Pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of people. In Jesus' name, amen.